Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord. Over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Let us read the psalm responsively. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. God has established peace on your borders and satisfies you with the finest wheat. God gives snow like wool, scattering frost like ashes.
God scatters hail like breadcrumbs. Who can stand against God's cold?
The Lord sends forth the word and melts them. The wind blows and the waters flow.
God declares the word to Jacob, judgments and judgments to Israel.
The Lord has not done so to any other nation. They do not know God's judgments. Alleluia. A reading from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. When he has come into being, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, to the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. At first glance, when you hear this introduction to John, it's very possible to get confused. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it seems to come off as solely intellectual and not very much about the day-to-day parts of our lives. But if we take just a step back and look at it, it tells us a lot about our relationship to God and to one another. And truly, the start of the Gospel of John is John's version of Jesus's birth. It just doesn't feature a stable Mary and Joseph and a little baby. The way that John wrote the beginning of the Gospel was to state in the beginning. And this was very intentional on his part, because it does a few different things. The first part is that it links the birth of Jesus to the creation narratives that we see in Genesis. For in Genesis, we are told, in the beginning was the world, and then it goes on to tell about how the world was created. And it helps to show that Jesus has always been a part of the world that we live in, just not as an embodied being. That the Word was always there and essential to creation, for creation to come into existence. It is said in there that John writes that only through the Word creation could be made. So this beginning part of John helps to place Jesus at the very beginning of human concept of time. And it helps to show that the Word, or Jesus, was always there, so that the being of Jesus is a person of the Trinity. This is where we see some of the beginnings of our formulation of the Trinitarian form of God. Placing Jesus there at the beginning made it so Jesus wasn't a separate entity or being, but rather a person of God. And this decision for the Word, a non-embodied person of God, to come into the world and live among us. I mentioned during the children's time about pitching of a tent is what is kind of described in the original language of and lived among us. This helps to paint a picture of the world that John is trying to explain in the gospel. It's about how God pitched a tent and became our neighbor, and how God invites us to a close relationship because of that pitching of a tent. Our neighborhoods have vastly changed in the last few years, probably about 20 or so. You don't necessarily always know who your neighbor is. So it's vastly something that doesn't match our current understanding of when someone lives next to us. But it's the small things that often can show a neighbor. I have a little bit of a story that you may find interesting. I live in an apartment with people on both sides of me and above me. I'm on the bottom floor. And I am in the bathroom, and Gary, my cat, is scratching at the carpet in the living space because I live in a studio. So I loudly say, "Gary, stop. Like, you need to stop clawing at the carpet. I don't want to lose my deposit," right? The next morning, my neighbor had walked out when I did, and he asked me, "Is everything okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I hadn't had my morning coffee. I'm still waking up." And I'm like, "Yeah, everything's all good." And he's like, "Well, I heard you loudly say last night, 'Stop, Gary,' and wanted to make sure you were okay." So half asleep, I had to explain to him, "You're laughing," that Gary was my cat, and he was being naughty by clawing at the carpet. This helped to show what kind of a neighbor he really is. We generally don't hear each other because it's cinder block walls, but for some reason, when I was in the bathroom and Gary was in the living space, I evidently spoke loud enough to get through those cinder block walls. And my neighbor checked on me to make sure I was okay. It was a little bit of an interesting morning that Gary caused, because you don't expect to have those questions before you have coffee. So, this is the kind of example of what Jesus becoming our neighbor is about. Jesus checks in on us when we cry out in pain, when we cry out in need. Jesus is the neighbor that comes over to make sure we're okay. In this case, Gary just was being misbehaving, so everything was fine. But the fact that my neighbor came to me and wanted to make sure I was okay shows that. Shows this idea that when God pitches the tent beside us and Jesus comes into being beside us, that Jesus and God will always check in on us. And he and I have small talk as well, so we know the other is okay. So even in moments where I'm not yelling, "Gary, stop," he still knows the basics of what's going on, and I know his. So that's the type of relationship that God sets out to have with us by pitching the tent next to us. And that pitching of the tent next to us and Jesus moving in is an embodiment. The Word at the beginning of creation was not something we could see or feel. So God became human. And when we think about it, it was absolutely needed. We see in the last few years how life has become hard. COVID has created so much pain and grief and death. And it calls for us to restrict our lives in ways that we were not accustomed to. Wearing masks, limiting our time out in the world, working from home. I think perhaps the biggest impact in our lives is to not be able to be around loved ones on a regular basis and be able to wrap them in our arms in a loving embrace, to hug those that we care for, to have a shoulder to cry on in times of pain. This physical contact has become something that we have been denied of over the last few years. And it's been hard. We're all burned out, we're all fatigued, and we're all hurting. Because all we want to do is for COVID to be over. And while COVID's not going to end anytime soon, unfortunately, with the new cases, we can take this idea about the need for physical contact in relationship and look at our relationship with God. We were created to be in relationship with God and one another. The desire for hugs and physical contact are an essential need. That need is so deep within us, so much something that we need, that God saw it and sought to find a way to bridge it. This was a transition from the Word, the holiness of God, becoming a baby in the form of Jesus. That bridge from something we can't tactilely experience into something that we can. And that's the little baby Jesus. God understands and sees our need for reassurance, comfort, and love. So the Word became flesh and pitched a tent beside us. That embodiment, that is something that we desperately needed. The Christmas season is about grace. It's about the celebration of this embodiment of the birth of Jesus. Because that birth is about rebuilding that bridge to God and about grace. Grace is the foundation of our lives, and Jesus is that foundation, as we hear about in the Ephesians text. And this beginning of the Gospel of John is about setting the stage. For the remainder of the Gospel of John, it's about what grace looks like, tastes like, smells like, sounds like, and feels like. It's all about the embodiment of grace and how it's physical in our world. John's account of the birth of Jesus is unlike any of the other Gospels because it doesn't end in a tiny baby. But while It has its academic-like moments. Ultimately, it is about embodiment. It is about Jesus coming and transforming from the Word into a baby boy, so that we can physically see that, experience that, and have that relationship. Because through that embodiment, we are invited to be children of a God that fills us with grace in a way that we can understand it.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.